My parents bequeathed me many blessings, but among them was not a sense of direction. I don't know why. My father had a wonderful sense of direction, but I could tell you scores of stories about how easily I get lost. And when I was thinking about them this morning, I remembered what I think was the first time that I came to the city from the valley, because when I was a student in rabbinical school, I lived in North Hollywood. And I was told, don't take the freeway. It's much easier, go over the canyon. So I went over Coldwater Canyon, and you know when you get to Mulholland, there's this place where you can go to Mulholland Drive, you can go to Tree People, there's a cul-de-sac, or you go down to where Beverly is. And I wasn't entirely clear, but I went the way I thought I should go, and I didn't realize I was wrong until I was back on Ventura Boulevard. And that is not untypical of my inability to find my way. And God bless the inventor of the GPS. All of this by way of introduction to the fact that what God says to Abraham is not, go to Israel. He says, El ha'aretz asher ara'eka, to a place that I will show you. But he doesn't tell him what it is. And the question is why. And part of the answer, I suppose, is the same thing. You just need to be shown where to go. If you don't know anything about the place anyway, I didn't know really what the city looked like, I just needed to know how to get there, and I would have been fine. So to say to Abraham, go to Israel, it would have meant nothing to him, or go to Canaan. He hadn't been there. He lived all of his life in Ur Kasdim. So God just said, don't worry, I'll show you. That's not the answer, by the way, that the rabbis give, or not even the answer that I'm going to end up with. Let me tell you the answer the rabbis give and what it might mean. They say God didn't tell Abraham the place because God wished to reward him. B'chol psiav psia, every single footstep he took. And that's pretty confusing. Why couldn't God reward him for every footstep, even if he told him where he was going? But the Maggid of Dubna explains it as follows. He says, when you take a journey, there are two kinds of rewards for the journey. One is what you're leaving, and the other is what you're going to. Exactly. Now you realize he's going, now. Oh, he thought it was just the going to. No, it's both. Now, says the Maggid, the truth is that you don't really get the second reward of where you're going to until you get there. When you're on the El Al plane, you're not in Israel. Everyone knows that. But, he says, if you're fleeing from something, if you're trying to escape something, then every single step that you take helps accomplish the goal that you want to accomplish. Because every step takes you farther. We're going to honor your request to be somewhere else. So that, he said, when God and the rabbis say that Abraham's going to be rewarded for every step, it's every step he distances himself from the evil culture from which he came, or Kasdim, he gets rewarded for that. So the second reason that God doesn't show Abraham or tell Abraham where it is because he wants Abraham to feel not just the arrival, but also the leaving. It's why when you go to a foreign country, and let's talk about Israel for the moment, the place where you really feel like you're in Israel is the place that is not like America. You land in Tel Aviv and you drive into the city, And yes, it's different. The signs are in Hebrew. The buildings have a slightly different look. The cars are a little smaller. But it doesn't feel essentially different. It's a big Western metropolis. In fact, Tel Aviv was just named one of the top 10 spots for nightlife in the world. Believe it or not, Tel Aviv. So unless you go to certain neighborhoods of Tel Aviv, you can land and say, how far have I walked? But you go to Jerusalem, and it doesn't feel like anywhere else in the world. And you have no doubt that you have arrived somewhere new and special. Eilat is beautiful. The beaches of Tel Aviv are lovely. But when you go into Jerusalem, you know, I've arrived. And that's true of other spots in Israel as well. You feel that certainly in Caesarea. You feel it in Sfat. There are certain places in Israel that feel like not only have you come to a new place, but you've left behind the world and assumptions of the old place. So maybe God doesn't tell Abraham where he's going because he wants to make sure that Abraham feels the leaving as well as the arrival. But then I want to offer one last reason. Because I and some of you have just been in Israel on this trip with Federation, in which we brought almost 400 Jews from Los Angeles to the land of Israel. And together, we had the experience of joining in various different venues and with various different teachers and rabbis together in a fellowship from Los Angeles to Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And the third thing that it reminded me of is the reason God doesn't tell Abraham where he's going is that no place is real to you until it is really specific to you. Until you smell what it smells like. Until you touch the buildings. Until you meet the people. Until you sit for Shabbat in a synagogue halfway around the world. I can tell you about Israel all I want, and I'll tell you a little bit about it in just a minute. But if you haven't been there, even God's descriptive powers were not enough to tell Abraham what it would be like. He could say, listen, I'm going to take you to this place, and it's like this, and it's like this, and it's called Israel, or it's called Canaan, and will be called Israel, and still Abraham wouldn't know. You need specific things. Every time I walk into the Jaffa Gate, I see that restaurant that is still there called Samara. That's my daughter's name. I remember when we took her several years ago and we sat in that restaurant and she gleefully told the owners that that was her name. And they said, it's our name too, our last name. They're an Arab family whose last name is Samara, but now every time I go back to Israel, I take a picture and send it home and say, I'm at Samara again. And it's those specifics, the memories, the encounters, the reality of the land, those things make it real, and it doesn't matter what God would have said to Abraham. Until he set foot in Israel, he wouldn't be in Israel. So we arrived in Jerusalem, and on top of the mountain, looking out over the city, the rabbis, the cantors, the group, and the mayor of Jerusalem, we all sang Shehecheyanu, and we were there. Or we walked in Jerusalem on a Shabbat morning, and we saw scores of people and very few cars, all walking to synagogue in the only Jewish country in the world, and the first one in thousands of years, and we were there. And by the way, went to a wonderful synagogue called Shirah Chadashah, run by Tova Hartman, David Hartman's daughter. And the gabbai, we commented on how beautiful his voice was in calling up the people and in giving the announcements afterwards, which were all in Hebrew, and I translated, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I went up to that gabbai because I thought it's so wonderful to meet him and to try out my Hebrew a little bit. He's from Encino. But, so we didn't leave the country completely far behind. But you got that sense. Not that we were in an altered reality, but a different reality. The sense that you get whenever you enter into the experience of another land and another people. And that idea is what God is trying to transmit to Abraham. That's why it begins with, you have to leave the land of your birth, the place where you grew up, the house of your ancestors, because I'm going to bring you somewhere different. It's not going to be the same. And because it will be different, so will you. And that, of course, is the challenge, which I will come to in just a moment. I just want to tell you one part of this that was particularly beautiful. You know, the Federation organized this trip because it was the 100th anniversary of the Federation in Los Angeles. And it really was a wonderful trip, beautifully done. The coordination was great. Everybody got where they were supposed to go. I think it was a triumph, and you should be proud that Los Angeles got coverage in all the media in Israel because hundreds of Jews had come for no reason other than to celebrate with the land of Israel. But at night, after the Friday night dinner, I went over to the Young Leadership Dinner. And there, Rabbi Ed Feinstein from VBS and I spoke to the Young Leadership, and he said something that was so beautiful, and because it reminds me of what's happening this morning, I thought I would mention it to you. He said, tomorrow morning, a lot of you are going to go to the wall to pray for Shabbat. I wonder if someone could just ask them to stand outside for a minute or two, the two girls. Could you do that, please? A lot of you are going to go to the wall to pray for Shabbat. He said, and when you do, I want you to know what I do. He said, when I go to the wall, thank you. He said, when I go to the wall, I actually don't face the wall. He said, after all, it's a bunch of stones. He said, I go right up to the wall and then I turn around. And there I see Jews from Brazil and Iran and the United States and Russia and Chile and on and on and on. He named 15, 20 countries. He said, and I realize that to be there is a miracle. That's the miracle. The miracle is that this is the place where all these Jews have gathered in one place at one time. You know, earlier this morning, we gathered together the tzitzit of the talit. It was practice for thousands of years. We say, V'havienu l'shalom mi'arba kanfot ha'aretz. We gather together in peace from the four corners of the earth. And guess what? We did it. That's what happens in Jerusalem. We gather together from the four corners of the earth. And we make it possible for Jews to celebrate together. I want to close by telling you something that another one of the rabbis said, and it was so wonderful to celebrate. Not just with all the Jews in that place, but also with the rabbis from the Jewish community all across Los Angeles. And that night at Shabbat, that first day that we came to Jerusalem, and we were looking out over the vistas and the buildings, and the dome and the wall, Rabbi Steve Leder said, I want to tell you something. that is a piece of counterintuitive advice. He said, when you go somewhere, you want to do a lot of things. You want to make sure to drink in the experience of the country. But really, if you're going to experience Israel, then what I want to say to you is, don't just do something. Stand there. Hold yourself back. You don't have to shop at every store. You don't have to visit every synagogue. Just stand there and experience what it is to be in Eretz Yisrael. And then, a few days later, when we were gathered together, he said, now I would like to reverse my advice. He said, you're about to go back home to the United States. When you do, don't just stand there. Do something. He said, I don't care in what way you want to support the state of Israel. I don't care if it's political activism, if it's money, if it's joining an organization, if it's advocating in your synagogue, but do something. Do something. And I thought that the message that Rabbi Feinstein gave about the wall and the message that Rabbi Leder gave were actually the same message, which is that the power of the state of Israel is the power of the people of Israel. But the people of Israel, as we all know, are bigger than the state of Israel because you're the people of Israel too. They're not only the ones who are in the state. The power of the state of Israel begins outside of Israel. And that's why God says to Abraham, come with me now to a place that I will show you, because Abraham begins as a Jew before he sets foot in the land of Israel, even though that is his destination. We're part of the power of Israel too. That's why it is important to be there. It's important to gather together. And it's important not to forget what you experienced once you leave. Am echad im lev echad. That's what our rabbis teach us. One people with one heart. We have an often divided mind, but I hope one heart. And that heart beats in all the land of Israel, but especially in Ir HaKodesh, in the city of Jerusalem. For those of you who joined us, I'm so glad that I had the chance to be with you. And for those of you who didn't, I hope you get there soon. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.